such an anointing for deliverance here. It was a couple weeks ago, and I woke up, and it was birthed in my spirit. God said, I don't strive with a man forever. And you know what I said? I don't want to strive with a man either, God. I took that verse in another place, and God showed me in another way. I don't want to strive either, God. I don't want to fight with my mama, with my praise team, with my prayer leaders. I don't want to fight. I don't want to strive with man forever, God. So you may be here tonight and just that's all you know is strife because you was raised up in hell. I understand being raised up in hell. I understand growing up and being abused, being molested, whatever else you want to talk about, let's talk about. I understand. But as long as I was striving with God in my soul, nothing went well for me. So we can strive and we can strive and we can strive. But until we become one with Him, then we'll never have any peace. That's why we have to get high again. That's why we have to get drunk again. That's why I have to shop again. That's why I have to lash out again in anger and bitterness and strife and resentment and unforgiveness is because something on the inside of me is striving. James says if there's a war, it's within me. So right. If there's a war going on, it's in me. It's not in, it's, I need to quit blaming everybody else and I need to look at myself. And say, God, why does war follow me? Why is there always war? Why is there something always coming against me? Because sometimes we bring war on ourselves instead of the enemy, always blaming the enemy because we don't want to walk one with Jesus Christ. We don't want to die to our flesh when it's easier to strike out or to say something mean and cruel. We don't want to give it over to God because if we'll become one with Him, then we won't strive anymore. We may struggle some to get to that place of what people consider purity and holiness. But God looks at that heart and He says, as long as that heart's not striving against me, then it's with me. As long as that heart, you know, they want to get all upset because somebody was preaching Jesus that wasn't part of them. And Jesus said, look, are they preaching against me? No. He said, leave them alone. Amen. He said, there's some of them even preaching out of strife. He said, I don't want you to strife. 2 Timothy said, don't even debate about these things. Right. If they want to come to you and say it's wrong for this or that, and how can you go here and how can you do that, 2 Timothy said, don't even strive with them. Said it brings in more trouble. It doesn't solve it. Have you ever noticed someone with strife don't ever quit striving? It's always... They're not happy unless there's a war going on. Not happy. Hey, if we went over to Baghdad, we might have some peace in America because we see what real war is. Well, we're seeing it today in our schools. We're seeing it all across the land. And maybe God's people, maybe the people in America will stand together and quit striving against one another and quit throwing little fits, throwing hissy fits and throwing something and tearing up something because our son's not doing what we think he should do or our daughter's not doing what we think they should do. Thank God they're alive today. Thank God they're alive. The truth is that someone's always got something to say about you. You're too pretty, so they're striving against you. You're too ugly, so they're striving against you. You're too big, you're too skinny. It's because they're striving with themselves. There's a war going on the inside of them. Genesis 6:3. Let me read these few scriptures, and we're just going to let God work in our life tonight. I just want you to know that just because people are striving against you and warring against you don't mean that you're wrong. They warred against Moses. They warred against David. They warred against the great men of God, but they came out dead, and Moses and David, and they came out in victory. You say Moses died. Yeah, he was ready to go after 40 years of hearing, striving, and complaining. He got to go on into heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what happened to the one striving? Saul died in the battle. Pharaoh didn't have anything because he was constantly having to get Moses to intervene for him. When the plagues came, he had to say, Moses, if you'll get rid of this lice, if you'll get rid of these frogs, if you'll get rid of these disease out of our cattle, if you'll get rid of, why couldn't, if Pharaoh had all that power, why couldn't he get rid of something? If Pharaoh was one with God, like he thought he was equal to God, then why couldn't he do anything? If someone's coming against you because you go to this ministry, can they cast the devil out? Can they get depression out of somebody? Can they get to the root of the problem? Hey, let's don't even talk about a man or a woman. Can they get down to the real issue of what's striving against your soul? Because I can in the name of Jesus Christ. So what did David have? What did Moses have that Saul didn't have and that Pharaoh didn't have? They didn't have the anointing. They didn't have the ability. The anointing means ability. They didn't have it. So you can strive against the man or woman of God all day long, but you're not supernatural, and you don't have the ability to master them. You'll never figure them out. You'll never be ahead of them. You'll never be on top of them. So you can scratch and screech and holler all you want, but God's going to come out on top every time. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What's the difference? That's the difference. God is a spirit. He's not flesh and blood. He's not human. He's supernatural. He's a spirit. So man cannot outdo God. You can't outthink him. You can't out justify him. You can't. Your excuses don't even mean anything in his presence. The only thing that matters to him is your soul still striving with me. Is your soul still fighting me? Is your soul still fighting the people of God? Are you still trying to act like you're something and they're nothing? Because you're going to fall flat every time that you come against them in the name of Jesus. What do you think you're going to do? You're going to win a city by yourself? Pharaoh couldn't win it. Pharaoh winded up dead on the seashore. The Bible says that we don't even remember him anymore. He says it comes a day when Pharaoh's going to pay. It comes a day when those spirits of control that just think that they're going to get every bit of life out of you. There comes a judgment day on that striving thing. And when it comes, he said, you won't remember your enemies anymore. He said, they're going to be dead on the seashore. Hey, you're not going to remember them anymore. So I'm here to defend the Christian, the ones that's not striving with God, because they're the only the really ones fought, Paul. It's only the ones that want to sell out that somebody wants to come against. They don't come against a compromising, lukewarm, watered down, somebody sitting in a pew watching soap operas, cussing, fornicating. They don't come against them, but they come against a real woman or man of God, and they want to act like they got something over them. Hey! If you got the same thing Marcella has, then why don't you have 3 million army strong? He got all kind of women under him, black, white, Chinese, Japanese, in this army of the Lord, all coming together in one mind and one accord. And when you go to the conference, you'll see what I mean, because you'll be looking around for some emotion. And all those people be sitting there just receiving from the man of God, humbled. They drove thousands of miles, flew thousands of miles on a plane, paid thousands of dollars to be there, to sit for 5 hours and let him take up offer for two if he wants to. Why? Because they understand the power of the mantle that's on the man of God. See, you're not coming against a man or a woman. You're coming against a mantle. You're coming in, if you come against Children's Church, you're coming against a mantle. If you come against the praise leader, you're coming against a mantle. You're coming against a mantle. If we don't think that a mantle means anything, then how come Elisha did double than Elijah? How did he do double? The mantle come on him. He followed Elijah. He changed his bedpan. He got his supper. He served him for years and years and years. And there's 7,000 prophets hiding in a cave somewhere. There's Christians hiding everywhere today saying, I don't want to sell out. But there's some prophets and there's some mantles and there's some people of God that want to go all the way. It may be one or two out of 50, but there are some. There are some. And God showed me one time, he said, there were 50 prophets in the school. The school of the prophets, and they were hiding up watching Elisha. They didn't want to get that close to Elijah because he might call fire down from heaven.
Right.
They might have to submit. They're going to have to die to something to pick up that mantle.
Right.
So 50 of them's in the school to be a prophet. How many's in the school to say, I want the things of God. Show me how to produce the proof. But 50 of them was up there, 7,000 in the cave. At least them 50 came out.
Yes.
At least them 50 got a little closer. But there was one man willing to pick it up.
Yes.
One man. And they looked down there, and Elisha, he picked up that mantle of Elijah. Elijah just threw it on him. And he kept walking. And Elisha had the choice. And he said, Father, Father. In other words, I don't want you to go. See, a real man and woman of God don't want that leader to go.
Amen.
They don't want to fight.
Amen.
They don't want to strive against their leader.
No.
They're their spiritual father, their spiritual mother.
Yes.
And they don't want them to go. They don't want to try to defeat them. They don't want to overcome them. They don't want to be more powerful than them. They want to submit to them. They want to honor them. They want to be there for them. The Bible says there's 10,000 instructors, but very few fathers. So I want to encourage you, if you're one of the Elijahs that's willing to pick up the mantle, one of them that's willing to pick it up, and I want to encourage everybody else to submit to them.
Amen.
Don't strive against them because you're striving against God. Because you don't know what they went through to get that mantle. You don't know what Barbara goes through to have a new beginnings class.
Amen.
You don't know the Pharaoh she had to face.
Amen.
But I can say she's one of the first to walk in her destiny in here. I want to honor you. Come up here. I just want to honor you tonight. She was at the Christmas party and she was buying gifts out of her own money for her new people that maybe didn't know they were having gifts. And we just want to honor you because you did step into it. Honor. Don't take it for granted. Look at her and say, thank God somebody took up the mantle. Hey! Because not only is she buying Christmas gifts, she's preaching under a prophetic anointing and the power of God showing up. And fruit, she has fruit that remains. Why? Because she submitted under another person's ministry. She submitted under a mantle. She didn't fight me. She don't argue with me. She says, Pastor, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to teach on? Unity, oneness. She gets up and don't bring her own vision in here. She pushes the vision that's already here. And because of that, the anointing, the breakthrough anointing. You can have an anointing, but you can have a breakthrough anointing. You can have a double portion anointing. Elisha had such an anointing on him. He's doing 32 miracles when Elijah did 16. So don't act like a mantle don't mean anything. You're not submitting to a woman, man, boy, or girl. You're submitting to a mantle. Submitting to the mantle on Elder Robert to teach. I wouldn't go to him and act like I knew more. I wouldn't have to prove to him that I'm a better teacher. I go to Pastor D and I sit at her feet. And I wash them and I anoint them. And I give her my money, and I send her to the Philippines, and I sit with her, and I eat with her, and I listen to her tell me all her stuff.
Amen.
And when I want to say something, maybe God show me something that day, and I'll start talking, and she'll say another revelation, and I'll shut up.
Amen.
I don't try to make her see I have something.
Amen.
If you got to make somebody see it, then you're striving.
Yeah.
Right.
You're trying to prove something. If you operate in the power of God, you don't have to prove anything.
That's right.
And the mantle, see, the mantle on me for this church, it could cover a lot. But that seat don't mean that that's my anointing, you know, to do the praise.
Yes.
But it's going to cover whatever's needed. Thank Sunday, Jesus. We needed somebody to take up the offering. God started putting it in my heart Saturday night. Why? Not because of me. The mantle. I wasn't even preaching that day. He gave me five scriptures on giving and receiving. And that's another thing. If you had churches to tell you that you're not supposed to receive anything, Philippians says, Paul says, you're the only church that dealt with me in giving and receiving. So there's your word. If someone says, you're not supposed to receive, you're not supposed to expect back, well, it's in the word. Philippians, he said, you're the only one that dealt with me with giving and receiving. He didn't just say giving. So the mantle is the ability to do what needs to be done to get that job done. Now, I've given Kathy the authority. Sister Kathy, raise your hand.
Amen.
I've given her the authority. I needed a prayer leader. Lisa says she'll do it. What's coming on her? If she stays faithful to it and really wants it, I wouldn't be surprised. Because, you know, Saul lost his mantle when it came on David.
That's
all right. So don't say you can't lose it, because he said to take from them that one with one talent and give it to the one with 10.
All right.
You say the 10 don't need it. She's already talented. Well, God's looking at that heart. He's looking at that surrender. And he will pass up someone striving against him. He said, I don't strive with man forever. I got too many souls out there. I got too many babies dying. I got too many young people crying out for help. So that mantle caused me to be able to walk in here and money just start pouring in the offering. Well, I probably couldn't do that tonight. What did it? The mantle. To cover what needed to be done that day. If the musician, I can play drums for a minute. That might not sound good to you, but the mantle can do all things through Jesus Christ. The mantle is the ability to do it. Some people take that as, I don't have to do anything because I know I'm anointed. And then you got others that don't think they have anything and they have a mantle on them. But there's a balance in there. The mantle is the ability to do it. It will do it for you. Someone said, how can you get such a purity flow in hearing the music? I said, it wasn't hard. The mantle. Something that felt like control. Oh, wait. Get it out. Oh, no. Can't have no control in here. Because if control's in here, then he don't get to come in.
That's right.
So that's why if I feel 1 ounce of it, I got to take authority because it's got to go out the door. How do you get a mantle? All I did was be faithful. I was faithful to the prayer. And I'd say, Pastor, what's my destiny? I don't know what I'm called to do. And I was always striving about it. I got to know my purpose. I don't know it. And she said, prayer. Next time I went around her, prayer. Well, so-and-so gets to go to work and make a bunch of money, and I got to go prayer, and I can't hardly even get there. Striving. Striving to make my own way. And she said, well, you're going to have to decide. Are you going to surrender that at the altar, or are you going to go get a job? So I surrendered to the altar, and then one day we were in here, and she says, somebody testify. And I stood up about that third pew, and I started testifying, and all of a sudden I didn't know I was preaching, but she did. She said, come up here. You're fixing to preach. And I preached that Sunday morning, and then I would go out in the street ministry because that's what I used to do. That's what I love to do. So that's another thing about a mantle is you'll be doing it when nobody knows your name. You'll be doing what's already in you. And so I'm going door to door, and me and Charlotte's running up and down the road on 8th Street, 6th Street, and they're partying outside, about 50 of them, drinking beer and partying. I didn't know one of them was kin to somebody in here, and they already died. They've died since then. But we're out there, and then, you know, I was scared as a mouse. And I just said one thing about Jesus, and that anointing to preach came on me. so you don't have to strive when a mantle comes on you. So why can't we surrender and let the mantle, let the calling come on us and do it for us? And then we can quit striving. We can quit wondering why somebody, it seems a little easier for them. It's because they lay down and let the mantle do it through them. They lay down and let Jesus Christ do it through them. And if he don't do it, they don't do anything. So I start preaching to 50 of them out there drinking beer. Charlotte, you remember it? And one of them said, you know, my wife will be back about 4. So we went back and won her to the Lord. But that's how I knew my calling. One day, pastor said, I'm going to Mexico. I'm leaving you in charge of the church. Yes, ma'am. One day, she calls at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I never led testimony. I want you to lead testimony tonight. I was so scared. I was sitting there like this. But I said, okay, God, I'm just going to submit to my pastor. I don't know how to do this. And I came in here that night, and it's the first time I learned how to flow because it got on a certain subject. And somehow I knew to say the scripture on that. And then it just went from that to that to that. And then I learned how to flow and stay on the same thing that God wanted to talk about through that night. But if I would have said, no, I can't do that, because of striving against God, then I wouldn't be a pastor today. We have to go through the steps. We have to quit striving now. We have to quit striving when he's calling on us now. He's not calling you to quit this or that. He's calling you to surrender to him and say, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to come upon me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to live this life. And I know my mama wants me to be straight. My mama wants me to be right. But I don't even know what right is because I don't see her be right. But God, I do know that I don't want to go to hell. That's one thing I know, is I don't want to burn for eternity. I don't want to die in hell. I don't want to go and let the worm, where the worm quenches not. I don't want to go and let the maggots eat on me forever. Hey! I heard one time, you know why the worm don't die in hell? They don't die in hell because you can't die in hell. Once Jesus Christ, once God created man, he created life. And that life can't die. We think he's cruel and mean, you know. Why do you let people go to hell? He created life. And the devil wanted to strive. He said, I'm equal with God. I could do, I'm over all the worship. Why does he have more than me? I think I can rise above him. Absalom's spirit,
all right.
Pharaoh's spirit,
all right.
Saul's spirit coming against the mantle, coming against God Almighty that made the heaven and the earth, that set the boundaries on the sea. Can I tell the sea, don't go over here? Can I tell the trees to bloom, the flowers to bloom next year? Can I make a baby be birthed in your womb? Who am I? The Bible says that will strive against my maker.
Yes.
Who am I to say, why didn't you make me, God? I'm not worth anything. Who am I to strive because I even exist like Job did? Job said, I just wish I wouldn't have never been born. Well, he's striving against God because God made him. But Job repented. He quit striving, and he come back, and he got double too. He got double. So there is a place in God where it's more than enough. It's more than the natural eyes can see. It's more, we don't have to look at our own limitations. I can't quit drinking. I can't quit smoking. Can't quit having sex. I mean, I've been doing this since I'm 14. You probably can't, because Proverbs says don't even open that up. So I'm sure it is hard in your flesh. But you can say, God, I know I'm not going to quit none of that, because that's what most people don't come to the altar because they think they've got to quit everything today.
All right.
Why don't we think we got to quit striving and being mean today then?
All right.
Why don't we think we got to quit controlling then? If they going to go to hell for drinking a beer, then why ain't we going to go to hell for controlling?
That's right.
Being hateful, because that's all that strife is.
Amen.
And when you strive with your child and try to get them saved, then you're operating out of your flesh. If I strive with you, try to get you to do your destiny, then I'm operating out of my flesh. If I go past that time where God says, don't do it anymore, he said, I don't strive with man forever. He said, so you don't either. Don't do it anymore. if they're not with you by now, he said, get some that's with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to give you praise tonight. I want the musicians to play. And if you want to quit striving, if you want to just come put it on the altar, that's the solution. The only way to quit striving is to surrender. If I'm in a war, the only way to stop the war is somebody got to surrender. That's how you become one in your marriage. You say, I got to let them have their way all the time if you want to quit striving. If you want to quit striving, then submit. And if a man, you want to quit striving in your marriage, love that wife like Christ loved the church. You won't have as many problems. But when we become one with him and we quit striving in ourselves and in our flesh, then all these other things will line up. I won't want to drink anymore. I remember we used to watch all kind of movies and I was saved for 2 years still watching them. One day I come home, my husband, well, there was something on TV. I'll probably put it on there. Something on TV. They was doing some kind of witchcraft. And I got sick to my stomach.
All right.
Nobody had to say, you better not watch that. How many men's out of church today because women, we try to help them out. We try to help them out. You need to quit looking at that pornography. Well, I can't live this life. I might as well quit.
All right.
How many have I heard say that? I can't do that because it's never going to be good enough. It's never enough for my mama. It don't matter. It don't matter if I cried out. Tomorrow she's going to say, well, did you get a job yet?
All right.
Religion tells you to quit it, but it doesn't tell you how to quit it. It doesn't show you the way to quit it.
All right. Well, the way to quit it is say, God, I get high every day. I look at pornography about twice a week. And want two more now if somebody give me some pictures. But I don't know how to stop. Because when I go to church, all I feel is self-righteous spirits trying to make me be right. And then I see them, how they treat my dad. I see how they treat my mom. I see how they cheat in their money. I see how they cause war everywhere they go. They're not in any unity. But I don't want to go to hell. Maybe some of you tonight can only start there. You know, I serve him today because I love him. But it didn't start that way. I didn't even feel him when I came back to God. Someone said, your mom's preaching. I said, okay, I'm going to go protect her against those Christians. Because one of them done threw her out of his church, so I'm thinking, I got to go protect her, you know. Said she prayed like the devil, so that's what Christians were saying about her.
Right.
So, yeah, it caused a lot of hell in me. It caused a lot of strife, and I would blame it on myself. I was full of rebellion. But I went that night because I was going to protect her, and I don't know how I was, but I was going to protect her, though. And did you know that was my destiny in the spirit to protect her? But I was doing it in my flesh. And Monica experienced that because I was trying to learn how to do it through the spirit, but I was still doing it in my flesh when I was in this ministry. Because whatever you're called to do, you're already doing it. You just don't know that you're called yet. Maybe you witness everywhere you go because that's what God has for you. Monica, we put her up to teach, and I knew that wasn't her calling from God. She's prophetic. She's to go into Walmart and say, God told me to give you this $20. She's to go over here to the jail and say, give some hope, give some life. She's to go over here and say, I was there one time. I was this, I was that, and I can show you how to get out of it. We don't all need to be hemmed up in the church. Hallelujah. We don't all need to be up in here. We need some folks out in the street like Chad, like Monica, like me, if I still had time, going door to door and knocking on the door and saying, is there something I can do for you? Is there something we can do for you? And let them talk it out. And then all of a sudden, you're going to hear the part that they don't think they can do for God. Because that's all that people pour into people most of the time is do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. If you do this, you can be holy. God said he's the only one holy.
Yes, it is.
So if I'm going to get holy, then I got to go to him. He's my source. Instead of striving to be holy, I got to do this and I got to do that. I need to throw all that out. I need to let him be holy through me. I need to say, God, I really want that cigarette right now. I want to go get a woman. God, I ain't had one in 5 years. I want to tell my mama off because all she does is control me or my pastor. I don't even like my pastor, God. I'm sick of her always on me. That's the kind of relationship. God said, I want truth in the inward part. And once you get that revelation, then you can get rid of all the striving because you can go before him day by day and you can say, I don't know how to quit this, God. I don't know how to not fall back into my sin, God. I don't know how. And he can put his arms around you because we love him because he loved us first. And when you're coming back to him for the second or third time, you might not feel anything, but you keep coming and that anointing and that presence will overtake your life and you'll get up and you'll start feeling sick, not from a drug, not from alcohol, not from sin, but because you sinned against him and you won't want to anymore. And you'll be like, oh, I didn't want that today. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just pray for us mamas that we can leave them alone. If they move off, they move off. If they go to Florida, they go. It's not going to be because I'm overwhelmed. I might say, if they come for counseling, I might say, I don't believe that's God. But that's my job as a pastor. And if you'll trust God, then you won't be trying to do that yourself. God done talked to them the other day, and you may be in here trying to make them do right. Well, they already been talking about doing right. You just didn't know it, so you thought you had to help God out. It don't work. You're going to be striving. You're going to be striving, trying to make somebody do right. What's right? I believe we're going to stand before God. He's going to say, you was a little off there, and the Baptist was probably a little off here, and Seemleys, they might have been off here, but y'all loved me.
All right.
Y'all tried to serve me. You tried to do everything you knew to do. If he might look at me and say, what you doing being a woman in that pulpit? But you know, you got this many saved. You know, this many didn't go to hell because you were trying. Dr. Mike Murdoch, one of those men of God, said they scared when they go to heaven that God's going to... No, it was the man that carries the cross. What's his name? Arthur Blessing. He said he's scared because he feels like God told him on Christmas Day, like 40 years ago, to carry the cross around the world. So he took it out of Hollywood, started walking right there on Christmas Day, and he did that. He walked the whole world with the cross. He said he's scared he's going to get up there and God's going to tell him that he didn't really tell him to do that. He told him, he thought God going to tell him he wanted to preach around the world, to talk around the world, not walk around the world. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to stand before God. And he might say, I told you to talk around the world, but you walked around the world. You was trying.
Yes.
You were trying to obey. Yes. What parent in here don't love a child for trying and doing everything they know to do to serve, to be good, to be right? I mean, and they fall off that tricycle, but we still proud of them for getting on it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't want to strive with you. Somebody have a testimony? Because I know God wants to save some folks tonight. He wants some surrender going on at the altar. You may already be saved, but you need to quit striving. Quit trying to do it yourself. And say, God, if you'll let that anointing, the mantle you have for my life, because each one of you have a calling, if you'll let that come on me, then I know that I'll grow into doing it. I'll grow into it. Like Pastor Pinson told me, she said, you'll rise to the occasion. I never had nobody show me how to pastor, you know, besides her. I never had nobody show me how to go to this next level. But God said, if you'll take this prayer to this level, then you can do the second part of the vision. You don't have to have nobody right there if you will quit striving. And you'll just go with what he says, like I'm doing right now. He's saying, keep on. Just do what he says. And he'll take you to this level, to this level, to this level. And that's why it's full blown in here, because I say, God, every time, take me deeper than I've been before so we can go further, so we can go deeper, so we can go higher. Doctors really say, I got to go deeper before I can go higher. Got to go deeper in the music, deeper in the prayer, so I can go higher. So he can take over us. And then the mantle just starts, you just get up and you're preaching the gospel. Like my brother called, a fire across the land. He don't even serve God today, but David Stephen is a fire across the land. He's an evangelist for God. And I know he already does it. He told his friend one night, he said, I think somebody I knew was over there, said his friend said, I'm going to heaven when I leave. David said, you're going straight to hell. He don't serve God. And his friend said, what? I've been in church all my life. I was raised in it. David said, I just saw what you did outside the door. He said, and you don't talk about God. You don't have a relationship with him. And if you go get in a car wreck tonight, you're going to hell. And that guy said, what do I need to do? He said, you need to get on your knees and repent. He's already doing it. Amen. Already doing it. Hallelujah. Already doing what God called him to do, evangelizing across the land. If we don't have to strive to do it before we're saved, then why do we strive after?
All right.
I bet she didn't strive to dance. She probably loved to dance because that's her mantle. I know my uncle loved to preach because that's her mantle. Preach. That's why the family has to hear it from us, because it's just in us.
All right.
Amen. Someone else needs to say something till a breakthrough comes.
I went to Conway this past weekend to visit my son and his family, his daughter's birthday. And during the course of the weekend, I was sad because I realized that she doesn't love me, you know. And I was sad about it, and I could just feel it. And I was like, God, God. Now, I know I've never done anything, and I like her. I want to be her friend. I really like her. And so I came to prayer this morning, and I'm praying. Now, you understand, I wasn't here Sunday. And so I'm praying, and I'm walking, and I'm praying. Oh, God, I thank you for oneness. I thank you that in unity there's life. In unity there's... Now, my feelings are hurt.
Yes.
But in unity there's life, God. I thank you for oneness. I thank you for oneness in our families. I thank you for oneness. She's striving against you. And that was the spirit. That was the thing Pastor wanted to talk on. She's striving against you. You cannot please this. The only thing you can do is love her and pull it down in the spirit.
Right.
In the spirit. So I go back to there's unity. There's life in unity. There's life in oneness. Life in unity. Hallelujah.
Chad, you want to come talk a minute?
Well, I'd like to say something to everybody that ever thought they wasn't good enough, you know. wasn't good enough, didn't deserve a place in God's kingdom. Well, it's not about what we deserve, because, you know, I tell you, in my life, I lived most of my life working for the devil. I did everything under the sun when I was a teenager, and coming all the way up, and drinking, drug use, you know, everything, every day. And, you know, it all led up to till my life just completely, I was one of those people, I had to go all the way to the bottom before I could even begin to climb back up, before I could ever hope to be, you know, the man that God needed me to be, you know, and some of us were just like that. Well, you know, I continued on with a life of drugs, alcohol, you know, partying and all of that, and it all kind of culminated to one turning point in my life where I took a man's life one night in a fight. And, you know, because of drugs and alcohol, I shouldn't have been there, shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. And I was a man full of anger and hate. And that will consume you. That will totally consume everything about you to where, you know, it takes God to reach in there and take you out of all that. And it takes you to want God. And you have to make that step towards God. And it took several years in prison before I ever made that step towards God. And when I did, God started showing me some things in my life, you know, because I had a lot of grief. Once I tried to come to terms with what I did and where my life had brought me, I had a lot of grief about, you know, well, all the stuff that I used to do, I spent most of my life, you know, doing wrong, and how am I ever, you know, going to deserve a place in God's kingdom? And, you know, I'm sitting in prison, I'm convicted of murder. Who am I? What am I? What am I worth? I'm worthless. That's what I thought. Well, God started working on me, and he gave me something pretty profound one day. He said, you know, he showed me, it just popped right in my mind. It said, Moses murdered a man too. And look what I did with Moses. And, and then he told me, he said, you know, I come to realize this, that it is not about anything that we can do or hope to do in our lives that make us worthy of God. It is by his grace, yes, and our faith that we find a place in God's kingdom. Yes. It is by our faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and that is the only name given among men by which we must be saved. That is it. And, you know, and everything that you once were, and all of the things that you've done, they're all a part of what makes you who you are today. And sometimes we have to go through an awful lot before we're a person that God can use where he needs to use us at. And we all, every one of us, we're all called to something. And last year at conference, I got a revelation when Ben Sorello got up there preaching, and he was saying, basically, I don't remember exact words, but what he was preaching on was the fact that each of us have a unique set of circumstances. We have a certain situations, circumstances, trials, and tribulations that we've all been through. Each and every one of us is different, but that enables us to be able to reach a different group of people that have been through the same or similar circumstances that another person might not be able to reach, that has never been there and hasn't been through what that person is at, and has never been where they're sitting right now. And I had always, before that, it was before that, I always thought, you know, even after I got saved, even after God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I said, you know, Lord, how am I ever going to measure up to be I thought that anybody that was a minister had to be a pastor. That's what was in my mind. I said, I said, Lord, I'm not educated in the Bible. I haven't been to seminary. I don't know nothing about any of this. How am I going to measure up to, you know, how am I going to measure up to my standards of what I think I need to be?
Right.
Exactly. And that's when, you know, it was a breakthrough for me last year when he showed me, you know. He just showed me as plain as day because, you know, that it's because of my circumstances that, you know, I feel like I'm called to minister to youth, kids that are struggling, that are going through drug addictions. And also people in prison that are sitting down there that are in the exact same spot where I used to be. You know, and I know that I have to, you know, that I'm sorry for everybody and the pastor for not stepping into that and not really, and letting fear of, I don't like talking in front of people. This is the second time I think I've ever talked in front of anybody. So,
love it. Awesome.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me. It's not hard for me. I just got it in my mind. It is. It's
all right.
You know, it's the Holy Ghost is gonna give us the strength to do whatever God calls us to do. We're gonna have the strength to do. But God had gave. There's been something on my mind a while, and I should have already said it. God put something on me, and I just keeps going over and over in my mind. There's all kinds of radical Islam out there in the world. Well, where's the radical Christians at? Where's the Christians that will stand up and speak out and that will praise God and praise Jesus? So many times we are just so passive, and we let the world, we let the enemy just walk all over us. The Christians as a whole, not this church, Christians the world over. And you know, that's what God put on. That has just been on my mind for so long. It just keeps running through radical Christianity, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it or where I'm supposed to go with it, but. I thought the same thing. Radical Christian, right on the back. But anyways, the main thing is I just want to say that anybody that thinks they're not good enough and you know that thinks they just can't measure up, well you can't. The truth is you can't. It's by His grace and your faith. Saved, and that's bottom line.
Yes, the anointing to preach is on Him. The mantle to preach is on Him, and it's going to do it through Him. And God's going to use you to save many lives. Joseph went through a lot, but went in a pit and went in all the prison, went everywhere else, and then was raised up in the palace. And when his brothers repented for what they'd done, he said that God used me to save lives. He used me so I could feed y'all. So that's the kind of God we serve. We may hit rock bottom. And I believe some people, if you carry a mantle to preach, I asked Kelly Fowler one time because I was, it was really hard, you know, what I was going through at the time. And I said, do you think that this is normal? And she said, if you're going to stand in that pulpit, you're going to pay the piper. And that always stuck with me. And I had to surrender, okay? And I understand that. But every mantle, you know, is maybe don't go that deep. Just surrender to your call. Yeah. Just know that it's enough. What God called you to do is to help to build the kingdom of God, and it's enough. And He won't put more on you than you can handle. And maybe if you're not one of them that have to hit the bottom so you can understand, because I was in the bottom too, I understand in a different way. But maybe you don't have to go there to help somebody else. But I thank God for the ones of us that did go there, because we can help
in those areas where you could help in another area. Amen. God bless you. This Sunday we're going to have dramas. We're going to have Casey going to bring us a Christmas revelation. We're going to have singing. What else is going on? A play. Going to have a play. So y'all come expecting God to move. And I know that he's still moving in lives. And God, we just ask you to come into our heart. Maybe. And just do this if you want, you know, because if you don't mean it, it don't do any good. But I don't want to close our broadcast without giving you the opportunity.
Amen.
That's right. We just ask you to come into our heart, God. And we believe you, as Chad said, we can't do anything to help ourselves. That man has nothing in himself, that he don't receive from above, God. And if I'm going to walk this walk, I have to receive your strength to do it. Yes. And I just ask you to come into my life and walk it through me, God. We just give you praise for it. Thank you for raising up radical Christians, radical army. Shell, come share. You and Kate, you share of your vision for the youth. And Chad's part of that. Amen.
My vision for the youth is to be able to have what I had. I was fortunate enough to have a safe place, you know, where I could come and be myself and sit in the pew if I wanted to sit in the pew and roll on the ground if I wanted to roll on the ground, just free. And it's not right, but for whatever reason it is, we don't like to give our parents the satisfaction of seeing them or of them seeing us progress in our walk with God. We don't until we get to the place where we're willing to give that up.
Right.
And I understand that, and I want a place where they don't have to feel, not that it's the truth, but it's the truth to us, you know. They don't have to feel judged and applauded, and 'cause there's not anything that you could really do in that situation besides probably keep your mouth closed that would be received well, you know. And it just is the truth of the matter. When a young person wants to go after God, they want people to leave them alone.
Yes.
And I want to be able to offer that for them, that they can come in here and they can sit and they can draw from me and from Casey and from the music, because we don't have anything to gain from it. We don't want anything. I don't expect anything. I don't want any pressure. I just want you to be able to come and grow in the time that it takes you to grow and how you want to do it, and respond when you want to respond and not when you don't, and know that that's okay with us. And we're excited. And we're going to have a Christmas party Friday night, and it starts at 6, and we're going to play games and have activities and in the same atmosphere. You don't have to do any of that. You can bring a gift if you want to bring a gift. If you want to play the game, you can just come and eat the food and hang out and just be free. And if you need a ride, let us know. We'll come and get you, do whatever we need to do. And amen.
God bless you. Thank you for praying today. Amen. God, we just give you praise, and we plead the blood over each and every one. We thank you for working in our heart and bringing surrender in us, God. We just give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.